Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When you think of the mafia and organized crime, your mind might drift to New York, Chicago, perhaps even Sicily. Montreal, not so much. But the mafia and organized crime presence in Quebec's largest city has been leaving a mark since as far back as the 1950s. And the role of organized crime in the awarding of provincial transportation and construction contracts prompted a recent and ongoing government inquiry. Here to give us some background on mafia activity in Quebec is Paul Cherry, crime reporter for the Montreal Gazette. Paul, nice to have you on Vermont Edition.
Good afternoon, Jane.
What role has the mafia played in organized crime in Montreal from the 50s to the present? I mean, we don't have time for an exhaustive history, but how big is the presence?
It's a leadership role, a very high up leadership role. By the time of the 1960s and 1970s, they were a major force, especially in Montreal. And by the 1980s, they were basically calling the shots for almost every group, every other organized crime group. Let's say the Hells Angels. There's a group here called the West End Gang. They either operated in conjunction with or with the blessing of the mafia. The Hells Angels, let's say, for an example, during the 1980s and the 1990s, rose up significantly in terms of power in Quebec. But despite that power, a lot of what they did with the okay or the blessing of or in partnership with the mafia here in Montreal.
Over the last couple of decades, there have been some pretty bloody turf battles with a couple of families vying for control. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Let's say from the 1950s up until the late 1970s, there was very little doubt as to who was in control of the mafia here in Montreal. It was a Calabrian-based mafia group called the Catroni family, or the Catroni organization. They sort of operated as a branch office to the Bonanno family based in New York. The Bonanno family saw opportunities here. They saw that whatever factions of the mafia were operating in Montreal weren't very well organized. The Bonanno family organized things, put a man named Vic Catroni, in control, and he ruled for basically three decades without much opposition, because they always could depend on the Bonanno family for backup. That changed in the late 70s around. The real clear mark is around 1980, when basically any leader in the Catroni organization was either in poor health or had been killed. And the group that stepped in and took over was the Rizzuto organization, which up until, like, let's say last year, they were in control.
You know, so we're talking there about some of the who's in control, vying for control, some fighting, several people killed over the years. Mm-hmm. But what's been shocking to many in Quebec and beyond was to learn how involved the mafia was in some high-profile provincial and local construction contracts. Mm-hmm. What's the connection?
Well, with the Rizzuto organization, you know, always thought globally instead of just locally. And were earning a lot of money through their connections across all over the world. And when that money, let's say through drug trafficking, especially, was brought to Montreal, they were left with, you know, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, that had to be operated. And they gradually got themselves very much involved in legitimate businesses as a means to launder that money, as a means to hide that money. And when they stepped into those circles, they basically applied the same business principles you would for drug trafficking or extortion, which is by the use of force or the threat of force, and they just applied it to the legitimate businesses that they were involved in. And, you know, based on what we've been hearing from the Charbonneau Commission, they came up with a very, very elaborate system of collusion where I don't want to sound like I'm exaggerating it, but I really don't think so. What came out of the Charbonneau Commission, which really shocked me, is that there's a sense that they'd set up a second government in Montreal, and you know, would say these are the rules you have to work by. There are rules, and so the proof is there, they had set up this elaborate system of collusion where they decided which group would bid on or the groups that commonly bid on contracts, they would decide, here, you file this bid on this one, and that's when you will get the contract. And we're talking about millions of dollars of contracts that were funded by taxpayer money.
Well, and this has been uncovered by what you mentioned, the Charbonneau Commission, which was created to examine and expose corruption in the contracts and in government. What's been the public reaction to these revelations?
It's been quite shocking because the collusion itself is quite disturbing. If you think that by many estimates, we've been paying 30% more for, let's say, road work than people in other provinces in Canada have done. That's because of this system of collusion. It's if the system is set up, they set the price, and we pay it. And so to many taxpayers, it's very frustrating to learn that you've been paying 30%. And I don't know how many people from Vermont drive over here to Quebec. If you see our roads, they're not exactly quality roads. They have a very bad reputation, and when some person's operating as a government all on their own and dictating the rules, that's what you get. You pay what they tell you to pay, and the quality, you can't basically complain about it.
How deep has this gone into provincial government? Has this taken politicians down?
Yes, but that's a separate thing where it seems like if people were trying to protect the collusion or were operating out of fear, they were dealing with provincial governments. And the aspect of the provincial government, I don't want to get too confused here, but the aspect involving the provincial government at the Charbonneau Commission has dealt more with their partnerships with, let's say, engineering firms that deal in these contracts, mm-hmm. or especially engineering firms, and how they are related to them when they go in, when they, let's say, an election comes up and they go fundraising. They set up these elaborate schemes where they'll tell this company, we need money for the upcoming election. It would be great if it came from you and your employees, and no company wants to go to each and every employee and say, you better come to a fundraising dinner for this thing. So what they do is they just buy the tickets and then tell their employees to show up at these dinners and then refund them for the tickets later on. It's quite a complex scheme.
Paul, we just have a couple of seconds left, but I'm curious, in your reporting and what you're finding, is this still going on? Is the mafia still as strong?
It seems to be, to use an example, it's like a wounded animal right now licking its wounds. The leader of the organization, Vito Rizzuto, died of natural causes last year. It's been very unclear as to who has taken over. It seems that people who worked under him are quietly trying to reorganize things, and they're also dealing with the embarrassing revelations that have come out of the Charbonneau Commission, which I can only assume are very bad for their business. It generated a lot of their revenue, and the Charbonneau Commission has really shone a light on what they were doing. So on one hand, they're trying to reorganize, and on the other hand, they're trying to deal, I assume, with a huge loss in revenue. Basically, a system that they had set up is now gone. But ironically, things have been very quiet this summer.
Wow. Well, Paul Cherry is crime reporter for the Montreal Gazette. He's been giving us the background on the mafia presence in Quebec. Thank you so much for talking with us about it.
Thank you, Jane.